This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
And Jennifer Renee.
And Jack Falinski.
And Glenn is out tonight. Yes. But on top of the show, we have a representative of a group in Houston called Pause Houston, which is a social support group for people that are HIV positive. And different things that are going on in the Pause community and issues related to that community. And, of course, this is the end of the month, right, Jennifer?
Yes, it is. It's the end of the month. And, of course, next week we'll have David Elliott talk.
Well, let's continue talking about this week.
Okay.
We have News Wrap, which is going to cover the national and international news and talking about HIV and what's going on there. In the second hour, you may have gotten the wrong information that we may have posted earlier because there was a little snafu. But what we're going to be, Queer Music Heritage in the second hour is going to be songs about Stonewall.
Oh.
40 years after Stonewall, J.D. has put together a nice compilation of a number of different songs that deal with Stonewall celebration. And it's an hour's worth, but J.D. has like two or three more hours worth on his website, queermusicheritage.com, if you're interested in it. So that's what's happening this week. There's an interesting thing that recently happened, and a rather famous poet passed away, and it's just not pulling up here as I was hoping it would.
I haven't heard about that.
Lynn Harris.
Wasn't she? Okay, then I don't know. Who was I thinking of?
He was a black writer poet that talked a lot about the down low. He sort of.
Okay. I know who you're talking about now. Wow. You seem pretty young.
And another announcement, let's talk about next week's show. Including on next week's show, we're going to have Tim Brooke over talking about the community leadership meeting, which is going to be happening on August 8th. And that happens from 1 to 5 p.m.
Yeah.
at the Community Center, 3400 Montrose. Next week is also the caucus endorsement meeting.
Yes, it is.
Yes. And we'll also have Impact Houston on to talk about an event that they have coming up in the next that weekend as well. So a little bit for everybody.
There's a little bit for everybody. It's the first of the month,
and
so there'll be a lot of.
We're also going to have our reporter from the Great White North.
Great White North, you mean Joan?
Yes.
From Iowa?
Yes.
There's not much snow up there right now.
The grassy plains of Iowa.
Grassy plains or the cornfields of Iowa.
Yes,
that's
the
breadbasket. Well, they have same-sex marriage or a marriage equality up there.
Gosh, who would have thought?
Well,
Iowa.
I would have had that. They're well
Kudos to them.
Well, I was doing some research on non-discrimination for sexual orientation, gender identity expression, and Iowa has been ahead of the curve up there. Their state passed non-discrimination in their schools as far as their teachers are concerned, unlike HISD here in Houston.
HISD, I see.
And some of the others. As a matter of fact, I've been leaving messages for Larry Marshall, president of the Board of Trustees, to call me back. And, you know, he hadn't done that in 3 weeks.
You know, I remember you saying something about that last week.
Yeah, and it still hasn't. It's been a week later, and
I still haven't heard back. Well, I don't know. He might be listening tonight.
Well, he could be. I doubt it, but maybe somebody else
maybe
is. And you can call him and ask him to return my phone call.
Absolutely. You know?
I doubt if it'll happen, but, you know, it doesn't matter.
Okay, we'll be back with our first guest after this.
that you want me. You know I can't believe it when I hear that you won't see me.
Don't you want me?
You know I don't believe you when you say that you don't need me.
Much too late to find. I think you change your mind. You better change it back or we will both be sorry. Don't you want me, baby? Don't you want me? Precious kisses, words that burn me. Love has never asked you why. Do you really want to hurt me? Do you really want to make me cry?
That is Four Poofs and a Piano, Extreme 80s from the Screaming Party Anthems, another contribution that JD has given us. And up next...
This is Queer Voices.
Well, if that's not the gayest piece of music I've ever heard, I don't know.
I just love that.
We were dancing.
We were dancing in the studio, singing to it.
Gayo time. Well, this is Brian Levinka.
It's Jennifer Renee.
And in the studio, we have a special guest, Brian Gruhl, who is with the organization called Poz Houston.
That's P-O-Z.
P-O-Z.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome, Brian.
It's great to be here, guys.
Well, tell us, what is this group and what does it do?
Poz Houston is a social support network for gay, HIV-positive men who live in the Houston, Texas area. And the group helps HIV-positive men feel more connected by giving them an outlet to meet friends and to discuss things that have to do with HIV, such as side effects, stigmatism, and some of the other challenges that go along with being positive.
How long has this group been around?
Poz Houston was started in January of this year, and it is really the formal organization of some efforts that were done by other community organizers. It's been going on for about 3 to 5 years, mm-hmm. informally.
Very good. Now, do you have meetings, or is it online, or how do people meet for this?
Well, that's a great question. It's a little bit of both. We have an online discussion forum located at pozhouston.org,
okay.
And we coordinate our meetings that are both run by the group as well as run by individuals. And so guys can get online and discuss topics that are pertinent to them. And then also periodically throughout the month we have meetups at different locations. Sometimes it's just social meetups where we all get together in a local bar, hang out, chit-chat. And other times we'll do things like this weekend a group of us went to see the Terracotta Warriors exhibit at the museum.
Yeah, very good. Now, is there a sense of anonymity for people that are kind of conscious about their status and they don't want to let everybody know?
There is. The online forums provides that anonymity. So it's very easy for someone to go online, and you can be pretty much whoever you want to be online.
Right. Jennifer.
I was going to ask that, what got you involved in it? What was the personal draw that got you to be part of this organization?
Well, that's a great question, Jennifer. I found out I was HIV positive in November of 2007. And one of the first things you learn when you're HIV positive is that it's a whole new world. It's like coming out again, really.
Yeah.
And I decided that I'd been in the closet enough when I was a young gay man, and I was certainly not going to go back into the closet for HIV. And I didn't have that many friends who were positive, and so I started going to the what at the time was called just the POS Social. And I got to know the organizer fairly well. And at one point, we decided to create a Yahoo group, and shortly thereafter, he had some personal issues that prevented him from being involved anymore.
And what you took up from there? Is that
it? More or less landed in my lap, sort of the same way a wet cat would land in your lap. And
but you sound excited. I mean, that you have this energy and this passion to carry forward.
Wet cats are wonderful.
I love wet cats,
especially kittens.
Exactly.
All right, just checking.
My cat likes it better when she's not wet.
Oh yeah,
mine does too.
It's been a really interesting project. I've had a lot of guys come up to me and thank me for helping them overcome the loneliness and the stigmatism that comes with HIV. It's really rewarding to be able to go out to the movies with people who understand what some of the problems with HIV are. One of the challenges we run into today is, you open a gay magazine and there's all these ads of these beautiful guys. Mm-hmm. And they don't tell you, they do. The two pages following the picture of the beautiful guy are filled with all the side effects.
Right, right. Well, I mean, I think that's indicative of how the disease...
The side effects of a beautiful guy?
Well, no, the side effects and how the disease
changed. I don't look at those magazines. That's why I don't know.
Well, I know you don't.
Okay.
But
Help me. I mean,
we can visualize these ads with these beautiful men for HIV medications, and I think the medications and treatments have changed so much that, the perception is different. It's a livable disease, and so they try to portray that.
Oh, okay.
In the ads.
So thank you for helping me with that.
It's like a happy gay health ad.
Yeah, they have these really beautiful men in these HIV medication ads, and that's really, we've been blessed that we have these treatments available, and it's really important to note that HIV is a treatable disease, and it's survivable if you take your treatment. And if you don't take your treatment, it's not good.
Well, I think, yeah, exactly. Do you still see a lot of stigma, though, within the gay community?
Absolutely.
Really? Yeah, I think that's here to stay. It's because I think it's just ignorance, maybe.
Yeah.
Misconceptions.
One of the things we're finding is that there's a big need for the social side of life. I mean, let's face it, gay men are social.
Oh, my God, yes.
And when you become HIV positive, you pretty much have to start over from scratch.
You do. Yeah. My friends and I talk about this, and they tell me about how they have to be careful about how they introduce themselves or, who they meet. It's the whole coming out again, like telling them their status. It's this big... issue and big, just animosity and just emotional situation.
Now that I get that.
Where you don't know if you'll be rejected.
That's what I mean. Yeah. I get that.
Yeah. So that's what's going on these days.
Just admitting that yes, I'm a woman, but I'm also trans.
Well, and you're a good looking woman.
And they still go. You're what?
And I think the other thing with HIV and being positive is the younger generation isn't aware of the death that HIV caused back in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah, we're seeing a second wave of infections. Most of the guys who are in POS Houston are long-term survivors. Most of them are in the mid-30s and older. We have a couple younger guys involved. And I know that the people who are under 30 who are HIV positive are out there. One of the really important functions the group does is it brings people together.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you can fight HIV by yourself, but that's a really lonely battle, and it's a lot easier when you can go to somebody and say, you know, gosh, I'm taking XYZ medication and it's causing ABC side effect. Mm-hmm. And somebody can go, yeah, I had that, and this is what I did to get rid of it.
Now, that's the most important, that interaction that people have if they have a common ailment, you know, whether it's, it could be Hep C and it'd be the same thing, but we're, you know, with HIV and AIDS, that they need to be able to interact, because there are some homeopathic remedies for some of the side effects that if they don't know about, what'll happen is they can be, you know, be living but be miserable around something that may be something simple to help.
Well, and one of the things a lot of guys get caught up in is yes, they're going to Legacy to get their HIV treatment, and they're going to maybe Montrose Counseling Center to see a counselor to help with the mental health issues, but then they go home and hide in their apartment, and so they get online, they look for sex on various websites, and this provides an alternative. This gives them a way to engage in healthy relationships outside of the computer, outside of the living room.
Well, sometimes you just don't want to. You just want to go to the movie with someone.
Yeah,
you can entertain yourself by yourself, but the fact is, life isn't full.
Now, humans are very social.
You're surviving an ailment that will ultimately kill you, but you're doing it alone. I mean, you want to have some interaction. Go to a movie, go have dinner, do something. And so, I honor you for the effort you're making in this.
Now, what sort of social events do you have?
Each month we have a social gathering. In fact, in August we're switching to twice a month.
Oh.
And that gives guys just an opportunity to come together. Somebody who maybe hasn't come to one of the smaller groups, it's a safe place for them to come. They can show up to one of the locations that we hold this, and you know, if they don't want to talk to us, they can walk back out the door, so there's no pressure there.
Right.
We also do different activities throughout the month, such as going to the movies, going out to dinner. Mm-hmm. We've done movie nights at private homes.
Mm-hmm.
Couple times this spring, we did a picnic at the park. And that was a really neat experience to sit in Memorial Park with 25 other guys who were HIV positive and just do what normal guys would do with their friends.
Air quote normal.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, when was the last time you went with, you know, 20 of your gay friends to Memorial Park and had a picnic?
Never.
Never.
But it's the kind of thing that we should be doing exactly. In the gay community.
I agree. Now, I was going to ask you about how many people show up to each of these meetings.
It varies. You know, depending on the time of the year and the event, in large events, we'll see 30 to 50 guys. We currently have just under 200 men in the group, and that's been since January, which we think is a fairly quick growth.
That's excellent. Yes.
Now, are you looking for volunteers to get involved? Should we send the word out to our listeners to kind of help you out? Or,
you know, really, it's better to spread the word that the group exists. There's a lot of HIV-positive guys who don't know about this.
Right.
And if somebody is not gay and HIV-positive, they're certainly welcome to participate.
Mm-hmm.
If someone knows somebody who is HIV positive, they're also welcome to join.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the group does tend to pick events that are tailored to gay men who are HIV positive.
Yeah.
You know, anyone who is affected by HIV is certainly welcome to join our group and participate in the online forums and come to the events.
Okay.
Well, the part of that I'm hearing is that you really need to get the word out to the people that have. Have you tried through some other organizations? Do you have a Facebook or something like that? Or how does that work?
Well, we do have a group on Facebook.
That's
a fairly new project, and it's called Pause Houston.
Okay. Oh, okay.
And we have an ad in our, or not an ad, we have a article coming up in Outsmart in August.
Okay, that'll bring in a lot.
That'll bring in
and,
some.
And we're also working closely with Legacy to let the counselors and the clinical people know about the group, so that when someone's in the clinic and is saying, you know, hey, I feel really isolated, is there a group that I can participate in, they can let them know about our group.
Now, is this a formal organization, like a 501c3 or something like that, or what kind of organization is it?
Not yet. In the past, this was a group that was run by one person informally. I've put more structure into the organization, and eventually we will spend more time on the bureaucracy side of it. You know, in the gay community, there's a tendency to create an organization, spend more time running the organization than doing things. And I think it's more important that we do events and provide a facility for people to organize their own events.
Yeah. So basically, a group of like-minded individuals to do service and good work for one another.
Absolutely.
That's how all great organizations start.
Yeah. Well, it's a few people wanting to help.
To make a change, yeah. But, you know, us gays, we like to organize and put the meetings together and, okay, well, we're going to have this fundraiser. And
I got to have the food, got to have the drinks, okay, got to have the decorations. Yeah. I understand.
Yeah. But I think that this is a great organization. Now, you said you're working with other organizations like Legacy. What about AIDS Foundation Houston and Baring and Center for AIDS?
Baring, several of us participate in some of the programs that Baring offers. Particularly, Baring has a support group that they do once a week, and many of us attend that.
Okay.
So we've put the word out through there. You know, we've made overtures to AIDS Foundation and to Montrose Counseling Center. Mm-hmm. That'll come in time.
Mm-hmm.
And all right, so we're your outreach. Mm-hmm. You're trying to get more people to let them know where you are and what's going on. So what's the next event and how they find out about it?
Well, the best thing to do is somebody that's interested in coming to the events should sign up on the website.
And the website is, again?
It's pausehouston.org.
Okay, that's or P-O-Z. Okay.
Or pausehouston.com.
Okay.
We have both domains pointed to the same site.
Okay.
We do have a screening process for people who sign up. They actually have to confirm their email address as part of the sign-up process. And that helps us protect the guys who are on the system so that there's a little bit of screening.
Right.
You know, we're not going to check to see that somebody is who they say they are. You know, we want to provide that sense of comfort, and we'll take them at their face value.
A certain level of anonymity is protected. Well, that's good. That's great.
Yeah. And then we have a calendar, and we do a weekly newsletter that lets guys know what's going on this week and what's coming up the week after that. Big events that we're participating in September, there is a statewide campout that's going on. And then in January, we're doing a group cruise.
Oh.
And that's going to be really interesting.
Now, is that with other organizations, or is the... I'm going to talk about the cruise, let's say.
The cruise is something that several of us said, hey, let's go on vacation, let's do a cruise. And so we went to Tom Baker with Aquafest, and he helped us put together a package and find a really fantastic opportunity on a neat ship.
Oh, that's great. And this is going to be in, what, January, did you say?
It's going to be in late January.
Oh, okay.
And
they can find out about this on your website?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes.
Now, I noticed on the website that you have discussion forums.
Yes.
What sort of topics can our listeners or potential members read about?
You name it, it's on there. And that's part of the goal of the discussion forums, is to provide that space to talk about HIV, to talk about life in general.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly, the HIV section of the folders really doesn't get that much traffic. Most of the traffic is in an area we call Chit Chat, which includes movie reviews. We have a jokes folder that's popular but not politically appropriate.
Okay.
We also have a section that we call Flame Bait, which is where you can talk about religion, politics, and sex.
Those sort of topics. It sounds like you're getting your information about HIV/AIDS other places, and this group is more for the social and kind of the emotional aspect of the person.
Yeah, most people who have HIV have good clinical resources like Legacy, like Thomas Street, and they have good mental health resources, but there is a real gap in the community when it comes to the social side of it, and there's no funding for that. And there probably isn't likely to be in the current environment.
Right. So are you talking about eventually having fundraisers?
It's not a very expensive organization to run.
Right.
You know, the cost is the website, and then individual attendees pay their own way. If we're going to the movies, people pay for their ticket.
Yeah. So that's self-sufficient. The website is pausehouston.org, and keep on going.
Okay, you were saying, now I went right to the cruise, but before that you said there was another event that you had?
Well, it's an event that we're participating
You're
in.
You're participating with somebody else, with other organizations. Okay, when is
that? PWA Holiday Charities puts on a camp out twice a year, and there's a camp out in September.
Oh, where's it going to be?
The location is actually...
Secret?
Yeah, it's kept secret.
Okay.
For people like you.
In the spring, there were 164 campers, so it's a pretty big event.
Oh, that's great.
And it helps guys connect from all over the state. And, again, they make friends. They get to have discussions and get to get away in a safe environment.
Mm-hmm. That's excellent. That's very good. And especially in a safe area where you can talk and that's an excellent way of doing that.
Yeah, it's a private campground, and they don't have to worry about, you know, the family of four with their children next door going, gay people.
Why are these men here, and why are they not wearing any clothes?
Oh, is that the way they are? Is that what you mean by camp?
The camping experience is
different. Yeah, it's a clothing optional
different
campground.
Yeah, different, yeah.
You know, the men who are on our site can also, there's a link to that on the forums under one of the events folders.
Hmm. Okay.
So if you're out there listening and you want to get more information about this, can they contact you through the website, or do they?
The best thing to do is to sign up through the website. They can also email me if they have individual questions, and it's just brian@pausehouston.org.
Okay.
And how do I find out the same thing? When's the next event or gathering y'all are going to get together?
The best thing to do would be to sign up on the website.
I mean, is it going to be this week, next week, next weekend, or what days of the week are they usually on?
Our next social is going to be the second Tuesday in August and also the fourth Thursday in August.
Okay.
And then we
don't have
anything
to do on Tuesdays. This is where we're going. Okay.
Yeah, and if you're at home alone and you're sulking and you're like, woe is me, get out. Let's, you know, talk to other like-minded people.
Yeah, some like-minded people who, want to be out and be social.
The days of HIV are vastly different.
Well, to fill our lives with companionship, we don't want to be alone.
You don't have to go through this alone.
The biggest thing that I would say is if you have HIV and you want to make some friends and you want to have something to do, this is a group to look into. And if you don't have HIV and you know somebody that does, tell them about the group.
Yes.
Okay. Absolutely. And that's pausehouston.com or .org.
Yes, ma'am.
Either way. And we've been talking with
Brian Gruhl from the organization. Thank you, Brian.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, no
All right.
problem.
This is Queer Voices.
The Treader Collection is a really wonderful archive that has books, periodicals, newspapers, photographs, textiles, posters, really anything that you could imagine.
Because I sing about who I am, and it's a shame that that's so hard for them.
I just got home from my shower. I've been working all day. Tonight the weekend starts and I'm going up to play.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Homo hatred spreads sub-Saharan HIV. History reveals itself in t-shirts, toys, and manuscripts, and musical manifestos, polka parties, and electro-diversity share the stage in this month's audiophile. All that and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Michelle Pleasant.
And I'm Lee Moore.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending July 25th, 2009. Prejudice against gay men is fueling the HIV epidemic in sub-Saharan Africa, according to alarming research published this week in the respected British medical journal, The Lancet. According to the Oxford University report, HIV infections for gay men in that region are 10 times higher than the average rate for the general male population. It noted that many men who have sex with men in several African countries often also have sex with women, keep their same-sex attractions a secret, marry, and have children. The report's authors said the higher rates of infection are driven by cultural, religious, and political unwillingness to accept gay men as equal members of society. They said the prejudice leads to isolation, low self-worth, and risky sexual behavior. Lead researcher Adrian Smith told the BBC that, under such circumstances, this group becomes extremely hard to reach. The report calls for increased education and resources to fight HIV in sub-Saharan Africa. According to the United Nations AIDS Agency, of the estimated 33 million people who are HIV positive, two-thirds live in that part of the world.
India's Supreme Court this week refused to stay a landmark ruling by the Delhi High Court that a law making gay sex between consenting adults a crime is unconstitutional. In India, anyone may appeal lower court rulings in the Supreme Court. Two people, a popular television yoga guru and a noted astrologer, have challenged the July 3rd ruling that overturned Penal Code Section 377, a 148-year-old ban on gay sex established during British colonial rule. Traditional religious communities have also strongly opposed the ruling. Noting that there was no threat of any consequences, the court refused the request for a stay and asked the government to define its position on the matter before its next hearing on September 14th. Federal ministers have publicly expressed opposing views on the issue, but a government spokesman said this week that it will meet the High Court's deadline. LGBT activists were delighted by the Supreme Court's refusal to put the Delhi court ruling on hold. Many celebrated at what some described as a groundbreaking queer party hosted by a liquor company at an upscale Delhi restaurant.
Russia's human rights ombudsman VP Lukin met with members of the country's LGBT network on July 15th. They presented him with a discrimination monitoring report. Lukin reportedly said that LGBT people are entitled to the same rights as anyone else, and if rights of specific people are violated due to their orientation, we are ready to protect their rights. LGBT Network Chairman Igor Kochetkov was very pleased with how the meeting went. This is the first time a representative of the Russian government officially met with Russian LGBT activists, Kochetkov said. We can safely say that the results exceeded our expectations. We very much count on further collaboration with the ombudsman. Numerous cases are pending at the European Court of Human Rights over Moscow Mayor Yuri Lushkov's repeated bans of pride marches and other LGBT events. There are also cases against other Russian cities that have blocked similar events.
Portugal's LGBT people may prefer partying to politics. About 3,000 people participated in Lisbon's Pride Parade on June 20th, making it the country's largest LGBT march to date. But a Pride party a week later attracted 4,000 people. Mayor Antonio Costa joined the outdoor food, drink, and music event near the Torre de Belém, the city's most prominent landmark. About 1,000 people took part in the fourth Pride parade in Porto, the nation's second largest city, on July 11th. That evening, some 2,000 people showed up for the ninth Porto Pride party, which lasted until 8 a.m.
About 150 people marched with pride in the Maltese capital of Valletta on July 18th. Representatives of several political parties in the Mediterranean island nation joined trade union members and non-governmental groups in the march behind a banner that read, "If you're not outraged, you're not paying attention." Another banner criticizing the country's dominant Roman Catholic Church proclaimed, "I am for the separation of church and state." The parade was the highlight of a week of activities, which included a concert and a film festival, all sponsored by the Malta Gay Rights Movement.
In other news, U.S. Navy officials have charged a fellow sailor with the murder of gay African-American seaman August Provost at Southern California's Camp Pendleton on June 30th. 32-year-old systems technician Jonathan Campos allegedly shot Provost as he was serving sentry duty and then tried to burn the guard shack along with Provost's body. The 29-year-old Provost was out to his close friends and family, but told them he had been harassed in recent months for being gay. His family, joined by LGBT activists and some local officials, has suggested that his sexual orientation may have motivated the murder. But Navy officials are refusing to call the killing a hate crime. They said Provost never reported any problems. He would have been reluctant to do so, however, under the U.S. military's Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy. Petty Officer Campos is being held at the Miramar Marine Corps Air Station near San Diego, where he awaits a hearing that will determine whether there is sufficient evidence to warrant a trial.
The Fort Worth, Texas City Council requested a federal investigation this week into the violent raid on the Rainbow Lounge on June 28th, the 40th anniversary of the Stonewall Riots that netted seven patrons at the gay bar for public drunkenness, injured three, and left one man with a serious head injury. Under the rare request, the U.S. Attorney's Office in Dallas would conduct its own interviews and possibly subpoena reluctant witnesses, going beyond its previous agreement to review internal investigations being conducted by the Fort Worth Police Department and the Texas Alcoholic Beverage Commission. David Mack Henderson, a member of Fairness Fort Worth, told city council members that key witnesses are refusing to speak to investigators for fear of retaliation. These are people who can speak to the chronology of events and the levels of force employed during the arrests, he said. Despite our best efforts, they're scared to death of sharing information about what they saw. There's been no word to date from the U.S. Attorney's Office about whether it would act on the City Council's request.
Protests continue in Salt Lake City, Utah, following the trespassing arrests of a gay couple after one kissed the other as they walked on the public plaza outside the Mormon Temple. The walkway bordering the temple is owned by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and security guards called police to remove the couple because their behavior violated Mormon church policy. Church officials claim that the men were doing more than kissing, but the couple has strongly denied that. A second consecutive weekend kiss-in held on July 19th on the plaza drew over 200 protesters, again including several supportive heterosexual couples. Counter-protesters, led by a group called America Forever, held signs criticizing gay people for leading a persecution movement against American religions. There were shouting matches between both sides, but no arrests. According to the Salt Lake Tribune, police reported a roll-by kiss given to one female counter-protester by a man wearing inline skates, but he moved too quickly across the plaza grounds to be apprehended. About 30 gays, lesbians, and their supporters also held a kiss-in outside the Mormon Temple in San Diego, California on July 22nd in support of the Salt Lake City couple.
And finally, popular black gay novelist E. Lynn Harris died on July 24th in Beverly Hills during a promotional tour for his latest book, Basketball Jones, about a professional NBA player and his gay lover. Initial reports said the probable cause of death was heart failure. Harris worked in corporate America for 13 years at IBM, Hewlett-Packard, and AT&T, but quit his sales career to become a full-time writer. As a pioneer in black gay fiction, he was the first to write about the down low, ostensibly heterosexual black men who secretly have sex with other men. Harris originally sold his books out of the backseat of his car at salons and beauty parlors around Atlanta when no mainstream publisher would distribute them. He began in 1991 with his self-published Invisible Life, which was picked up 3 years later by Anchor Books. Harris became a prolific and successful writer. He eventually published 10 more novels and a memoir, What Becomes of the Brokenhearted, most of them published by Random House, and all but one becoming New York Times bestsellers. His fans included many heterosexual women who said they identified with the emotions Harris wrote about in his novels. Harris loved his alma mater, the University of Arkansas, and its Razorbacks sports teams. He was the school's first black male cheerleader and its first black yearbook editor. He was also well known in the literary community for his support of emerging new writers. Harris once told our Steve Pride on this program,
I'm proud of both being gay and black in no particular order, but I love it when I'm just considered a writer. I told the story of being number one on the New York Post list, and all of these other writers, John Grisham and Anne Rice, were right below me and didn't say the number one black gay writer this week is. It was just number one this week in New York City is E. Lynn Harris, author.
E. Lynn Harris had celebrated his 54th birthday on June 20th.
That's News Wrap for the week ending July 25th, 2009. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is written by Greg Gordon and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles. For This Way Out, I'm Michelle Pleasant.
And I'm Lee Moore.
an uncommon American composer in a Rainbow Minute and find out if homo folkies in fidget houses can throw polka parties. Later in the program. The Jean Nicholas Treader Collection in Gay, Lesbian, Bisexual, and Transgender Studies was a point of pride for America's Twin Cities during this year's commemoration of the Stonewall Rebellion. The collection's 40 Years After Stonewall exhibit featured just a portion of the over 30,000 items housed at the University of Minnesota, but it dramatized the importance of preserving the little things that become the building blocks of a movement's history. Eric Colery served as guest curator for the exhibit. He spoke with This Way Out correspondents Dixie Trichel and John Townsend.
Eric, tell us a little bit about the Treader Collection and what you're doing.
The Treader Collection for Gay, Lesbian, and Bisexual and Transgender Studies at the University of Minnesota is a really wonderful archive that has books, periodicals, newspapers, photographs, textiles, posters, anything that you could imagine from any country in the world, spanning thousands of years. There's some artifacts in there from BC.
This collection was founded by Jean Nicholas Treader.
Absolutely.
Who currently lives in the Twin Cities.
Mm-hmm. I am a guest curator, I guess you could say, for the 40th anniversary Stonewall exhibit, and I am also currently the project coordinator and archivist for the Nolte Collection for the Performing and Cinematic Arts.
40 years after Stonewall, the gay movement in America.
Yes. So that is an exhibit that we have. I've been working on it for about a year now, mainly intensively since January. It is an exhibit which starts actually 20 years before Stonewall happened, and then the 40 years following Stonewall with the riots taking kind of center focus. The purpose of that is to try and give context to the riots, because oftentimes you hear about the riots launching the gay movement, and there was quite a bit that happened beforehand that led up to it. The riots were pivotal to where we are today.
Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about what led up to the riots?
Yes, absolutely. The exhibit starts just after World War II, when in the United States a lot of men were returning from the war and moving to the cities to get jobs. A lot of women who had gotten work during the war effort were suddenly displaced and trying to figure out where their place was in American society again after the war. So there was this huge cultural change happening in the United States at the time, and that's when homosexuality in the United States really began to emerge as a minority group, and people began to think of themselves collectively. So from there, the exhibit looks at McCarthyism, early homophile organizations like the Mattachine Society, one incorporated in the Daughters of Bilitis. We look at pre-Stonewall gay bars and the kind of culture of bars for 1969. And then we move into the riots, which of course were on June 28th of 1969.
Do you know what time those took place?
Yes, at 1:20 in the morning.
Okay, so it is really the 28th.
It's a little confusing, because if you say it happened in the morning, most people would automatically assume it happened like somewhere around the dawn, but actually it was right in the middle of the night.
Sometimes they see it as the 27th.
Yes.
And sometimes as the 28th.
The officers, according to the police records, they went into the bar at 1:20 in the morning. There were four plainclothes police officers and two uniformed police officers who came in to conduct what was thought of at the time to be a fairly typical raid during the 1960s. A lot of gay bars in the United States were often raided by police, where they would just back a paddy wagon up to the door and flush everybody out, arrest them all, and then release them the next day, having taken their pictures and published them in the newspapers with their names, occupations, and addresses.
And that was simply for just being in there, not even for having any sort of sexual contact.
Just for being there. A gay bar, basically, by law, would be considered an establishment of disorderly conduct, and that's what they would be charged with.
So it was institutionalized stigma.
Absolutely, yeah.
And do you know the rules of clothing that were involved in order for someone to get arrested?
To some degree, clothing had part to do with it, particularly for women. There was, in New York, for instance, there was a specific law that you could be arrested if you were not wearing, quote, the clothes appropriate to one's gender. If the police raided the bar and you were either dressing androgynously or as the other gender, then you could very easily be arrested and charged.
And what are some of the things in the exhibit?
We have some very rare photographs, actually some of the very few photographs of the interior of the Stonewall Inn, including some after the riots with the jukebox that was smashed and broken. We have a display case that includes the original front front page of the assassination of Harvey Milk. A letter from Harvey Milk to former Minnesota Senator Alan Speer, some t-shirts from the gay liberation movement, and some other really great records, posters, buttons, just really trying to document the gay movement in the United States. The great thing about the Treasure Collection is they also send out their exhibits to a number of different locations. The Stonewall exhibit is designed so that after it's done here at Anderson Library, it can be packed up and sent to cities around the world.
Eric Colery was the guest curator of the 40 Years After Stonewall exhibit from the Jean Nicholas Treader Collection in Gay, Lesbian, Bisexual, and Transgender Studies at the University of Minnesota. He spoke with John Townsend and Dixie Treichel.
Aaron Copland, the uncommon American composer, coming up now on the Rainbow Minute. Often defined as a pioneer of American music, Aaron Copland was born in 1900 into a Jewish immigrant family living in Brooklyn, New York. He received music training in France, but rejected the European neo-romantic style to create a uniquely modern style incorporating American popular motifs. It would be hard to find an American who hasn't heard Copland's compositions. His more well-known pieces are Appalachian Spring, Fanfare for the Common Man, and The Tinderland. His operas, ballets, film scores, chamber, and choral music awarded him a Pulitzer Prize, an Academy Award, and a Presidential Medal. Unlike many gay men at the time, Copland was not tormented or embarrassed by his sexuality, and throughout life was involved with same-gender relationships without a falter in his career. The Rainbow Minute is produced by Judd Proctor and Brian Burns and recorded in the studios at WRIR in Richmond, Virginia, and read by volunteers like me, John DeBoer.
I'm a little tired of the weary throwaway line that there is no such thing as the gay sensibility. Of course there is such a thing as the gay sensibility. Of course gay men and women think in some fundamental ways differently from straights. It is not just about what we do in bed. It is about the echoes in the culture of who we are or who we aren't. Hi, I'm Clive Barker. Listen to This Way Out, the international gay and lesbian news magazine.
Expect the unexpected from a Canadian with attitude, a bunch of Berkeley lesbians, and a party-ready Londoner in this month's Audiophile.
I'm walking into the unknown, into uncharted territory, and I know there are people out there who don't agree with me. 'Cause I sing about who I am, and it's a shame that that's so hard for them. But I've been putting in time dreaming, and I got something different in mind. I just hope that I'm not ahead of my time. You see, I wanna burst these floodgates open on this soulless river, and I'm a pretty good swimmer, but I've been swimming upstream for far too long. Yeah.
Canadian artist Kate Reid calls herself a homo folky. Hi, I'm J.D. Doyle.
I'm Chris Wilson, and you're listening to Audiophile. This very outspoken and very fun artist has just released her second album called I'm Just Warming Up.
The album is a collection of songs that represent my life, mostly as a lesbian in the world and as a lesbian in the music business. There's a song called Only Dyke at the Open Mic. There's banjo, guitar, there's fiddle, there's harmonica, lots of fun stuff, and some powerful sort of manifesto type of songs as well.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm the only dyke at the open mic. I'm strumming my guitar in this dingy little bar, yeah. I'm the only dyke at the open mic, belting out songs about women feeling good.
You can learn more about the album I'm Just Warming Up by Kate Reid at www.katereid.net. And Reid is spelled R-E-I-D.
Whatever Lola wants, Lola gets. A little
your mind I have no regrets. Recline yourself, resign yourself, you're through.
The band Polkonomics started with a party, and the party continues with their CD, Lola.
Group member Suzanne Shanbaum explains how it all began.
About 2004, Nancy Vogel from the Brooklyn Loons Music Collective got together with a bunch of friends on New Year's Eve and decided that they were going to have a polka party. And there was a knock at the door, and in came Marie Meredith, our accordion player. No one had ever met her before, but she heard when there was going to be a polka party, and she'd been playing accordion for about 30 years and won lots of awards and always performed at accordion festivals, and she always wanted to be in a band. So that was the beginning of the Polkonomics.
Find out more about the Polkonomics and their album Lola at www.polkonomics.blogspot.com.
I'm Q Boy, and you're listening to tracks on my new album Moxie. I'm very proud of this album, very proud of the self-produced tracks that are on there. It's very diverse. It has many different artists and brilliant people featuring on the album, and the sounds range from electro pop to fidget house to hip hop to old school soul. It's got a bit of everything, and I think that most people from most backgrounds will enjoy it.
Before you left, you tell me what I know. Sank to the beach, I said it's no. I saw right through this scenario, analyze the scene. See how we go, but we were on red and never on green. Too many dreams fall into the stream. Won't waste time on us. Not working, need more distance from her.
You can set it up, but can you pull it off? There's not another one to get you through.
Out of London, the first full-length album by Q-Boy is called Moxie, and that fits, as he brings us a variety of styles and seems always ready to party.
I just got home from my shop and working all day. Tonight the weekend starts and I'm going out to play. If you want to join me, make sure you look fabulous or bundle against it. So much rapper that's and free drinks at the bar we lick. A fella shuts me up, I'm a star, he thinks, don't care for talk. Hold the conversation to the dance floor, walk. I'll put you through your paces.
I came here to Moxie, and I know you did too. Get on the dance floor and get down to the groove. I came here to Moxie, and I know you did too. Get on the dance floor and get down to the groove.
You can ring my bell, you can call my phone, you can drive all night, pick me up from my home, cause I wanna join the party, and there's another way for we can steal. So I'm coming out to play.
As Q-Boy is a UK artist, his website address reflects that, so you can visit him at www.qboy.co.uk.
That's it for this edition of Audiophile. You can learn more about Audiophile or contact us by visiting our website at www.audiophile.org. That's www.audiophile.org.
Audiophile is produced by Chris Wilson, J.D. Doyle, and Christopher David Trenton. I'm Chris Wilson.
And I'm J.D. Doyle. Keep listening.
Get on.
Hi, I'm David Dye, host of The World Cafe. Here at the cafe, musicians, both new and old, reveal what inspire them. From groups getting ready to release their debut to veterans of the music industry, hear what it's like to chase the dream of being in a band. And hear a great mix of music. I put it together every day. Like Carl Newman of the New Pornographers told us,
I still approach everything from like a fanboy point of view.
Join us, a community of music fans, on The World Cafe.
Tune in to The World Cafe starting Wednesday, July 22nd from noon to 1 p.m. right here on KPFT Houston.
Aurora Picture Show joins forces with the Manil Collection to present two free outdoor screenings, Friday, July 31st and Friday, August 14th. The Manil Summer Movies in the Park series will begin with a screening of the 1952 Western film High Noon, followed by a screening of short excerpts from some of the best-loved classic television Westerns in August. These free screenings will take place outdoors in the Manil Park, 1515 Sol Ross. For information on community activities, visit KPFT's events calendar at kpft.org. KPFT Houston.
At 90.1 FM, this is KPFT Houston. Now, more of Queer Voices with Jack Belinsky and the entire Queer Voices crew.
This is J.D. Doyle, and welcome to Queer Music Heritage. This is sort of a history show, normally heard on the fourth Monday of the month as part of the show Queer Voices on KPFT-FM in Houston. My focus is to preserve and share the GLBT music of our history, and I'll mark 10 years of doing that next January. And since June marks the 40th anniversary of Stonewall, I wanted to do something special. A bonus show where every song is about Stonewall. And in several cases, I have short quotes by the artists talking about their songs. I started off with Suzanne Simone,
an artist I really don't know much about other than that she's from San Francisco and released her only album in 1995 called Freedom Day, and that was the title track. Most of the songs you'll hear are from the 90s, but I want to go right away to the oldest song lyrically about Stonewall, and actually what I consider the first explicitly gay liberation song. It was written and recorded by Madeline Davis, and she has a lot of history of her own. She was one of the early members of the Mattachine Society in Buffalo, New York, and was president of that chapter for many years. One of her biggest honors was in 1972, when she was elected as the first openly lesbian delegate to a major national political convention. It, of course, was the Democratic Convention that nominated McGovern. She's an award-winning author and has many other accomplishments, but I want to get to the music and to let you hear her talk about her song, Stonewall Nation.
I went to the first march I ever attended in 1971. It was a march on the state capitol in Albany. We were at the head of this line of just hundreds of people, and I'd never been in a march before. And it was scary, and it was wonderful at the same time. And I was so high from that experience that on the way home, I wrote in my notebook the words to Stonewall Nation and also a poem called From the Steps of the Capitol 1971, which is on the reverse side of the original 45 recording of Stonewall Nation. That was produced at the end of 71 by the Mattachine Society. I think we produced 545 RPM records, and people actually bought them. And I know that Craig Rodwell, owner of the Oscar Wilde bookstore, he would play it in his bookstore every June during Gay Pride. And I was delighted.
I don't want to see my brothers kicked into the dust no more. Their dreams all turn to rust no more, no more, no more. I don't want to see my sisters having to
take your time.
This next song is one of my favorites about Stonewall, and that's its title. The artist is Jimmy Worm, and his 1995 CD was called I Pledge, which was packed full of very political songs. I asked him which one made him the most proud.
I think probably of all of the songs that I've written, the one that is the most meaningful when I listen to it is probably Stonewall, just because it summarizes in my mind a lot of history. I think in that song for me, something in embracing who those people were helps me in some way appreciate really how easy I have it right now. You know, I'm here in Seattle, and I can walk down any street holding my boyfriend's hand, and I have really no worries at all. And I think back to where that started and how difficult it had to be to make those first moves. I don't know, the song just really, what I wanted it to be was a big thank you to those people who had to go through the really scary stuff for me to enjoy what I enjoy right now.
Stonewall, take a look around tonight. Take a look around tonight, you're gonna find your worth. Stonewall, if you stand up, you just might. If you shout out, you just might get your message heard. Stonewall, Dorothy's gone with the ruby shoes. Ain't nothing left to lose over this rainbow. Stonewall, bull dykes are in control. Drag queens are on. Looking around tonight, I'm gonna find my worth. Stonewall, I've been hiding far too long. I've been thinking I'm not strong enough to be heard. Stonewall, you are my very soul. Repression takes its toll and I turn to you. Strength to win. Let the battling begin. Our waiting days are through. And even if I'm pushed aside, even if I'm lost inside, they can tie my tongue and bind my feet. But this world will still remember. My blood, I feel that sweet, sweet freedom nearing. And even if I'm pushed aside, even if I'm lost inside, they can tie my tongue and bind my feet. But I
Jimmy Worm and Stonewall. And I really admire this next song, done by an artist just going by the name Melinda. Her 1994 cassette tape, Dyke Dramas, is quite hard to find, So I'm glad to share with you her song, Remember Stonewall.
June 28, back in 1969, I was a prepubescent child of nine. As I lie in my bed, not worrying in my head, there were folks out fighting for me. And in the dark of the night, hung a fully rounded moon, Judy Garland was buried that very afternoon. And on Christopher Street, in a place they all would meet, then a movement started. Stonewall. New York City Vice busted in a routine raid of the Stonewallers. But tonight, the score would be different. Dykes and fags fighting strong against the long arm of the law. They were bound and determined to take no more.
Year 1994 marked the 25th anniversary of Stonewall, and one of my artist friends, Tom Wilson Weinberg, put together a recording called Don't Mess With Mary in celebration of the event. He already had one related song called Before Stonewall that had appeared in his hit and very gay musical 10% Review. But he revamped it, and this time it was performed by the New York City Gay Men's Chorus Chamber Choir.
There was a time before liberation when all the witches were mad and moonstruck, when shrinking and
and shocking and mocking were rife, we still found each other, the ones in the life. There was a time before demonstrations when queens and fairies were shy and fearful. We ran and we hid from the fist and the knife, and we still found each other, the ones in the life.
Do you know Dorothy?
Do you have the time? Have you got a light, dear?
Change for a dime.
Do you come here often?
I see what you mean.
I know a tavern where we won't be seen.
There was a time before celebration. Still found each other, the ones in the light.
Also from Tom Wilson Weinberg's CD, Don't Mess With Mary, that was Bricks and Bottles by Jan Tilley. Of course, I've got a song by a transgendered artist. In 1999, Jessica Xavier released an album called Changeling. And I love it because it really dug deep into expressing the transgender experience. But of more general GLBT meaning was her song, Stonewall.
I wrote that song very specifically back in the early 90s because I was concerned that we were getting 30 years on from the Stonewall Rebellion. And due to a lot of sociopolitical forces and identity politics and assimilation that our history was being lost. I was concerned because at the time we were fighting a lot of inclusion battles, trying to become part of the gay and lesbian political agenda, and that was proving to be very difficult. And so Stonewall was kind of a reminder that trans people did play a very significant role in the birth of gay liberation. And my friend, sister, mentor, mother, hero, heroine, goddess, Sylvia Rivera, is really who the song was dedicated to. She was one of the true heroes of the trans movement as well as the LGBT movement, and she loved the song and was very, very excited and happy that I had written it because she too was concerned that her place in history was going to be forgotten, and I'll never let that happen.
for a quick diversion that you probably won't expect, with a bit of the song No Matter What Sign You Are by Diana Ross and the Supremes, and I'll explain why you're hearing it. That song, of course, was not about Stonewall, but according to the website of a group called the Stonewall Veterans Association, that was the number one song on the jukebox in the Stonewall Inn during the last week of June, 1969.
As I read the daily paper, I'm more and more amazed at a world that once was easy to define. For today I read a warning on this balmy summer morning of June 28th, 1969. It says here, you see a homosexual walking by, give him a smile and wave and call a cheery hi. Don't degrade him as you may usually do. Don't forget that homos may have feelings too. Whenever you see a pair of lesbians in the street, say howdy do or something equally sweet. Don't revile them or otherwise criticize, or you may be in for a little surprise. It seems that there's an inn with homos within, a charming, adorable place, unassuming and quiet. But last night when the police came to establish some peace, the charming, adorable customer started a riot. So when you see two women walking arm in arm, don't give them any cause to feel alarm. Don't throw rocks and bellow, cause the lesbians and gays are fighting back. The lesbians and gays are fighting back. Smile and say hello to any homo that you see on the street.
That was called Stonewall Serenade and was from the 1995 musical by Eric Lane Barnes called Fairy Tales. One of our most political folk singers is Sandy Rapp, and from her 1995 album, We the People, comes a song with a little different slant on the subject. It's called Everyone Was at Stonewall.
There were you in the June of 69. Did you sing a song of Susanna, Sweet Caroline? Did you walk on the moon or were both feet on the ground? Were you Woodstock bound? Those were the days when the bars became our home, cause we had no church or state to call our home. And they raided the bars and the cars were on patrol, and they buzzed our phones. But there came a time, a summer's night, everyone turned out to join the fight. Not a 20 million strong, not a queer soul was at home to hear it told. To hear it told, everyone was at Stonewall. It's widely known, not a soul was home. Every G&L has a New York tale to tell, cause Stonewall was everyone. Did you hear the coins go rolling? see the crowd with long, beautiful hair? Did you see them throw the building in the air? 'Cause you were there. And was it true? Did a cry go through from the village on up Second Avenue? Did they hear it at Uncle Charlie's and at three that they were free? To hear it told, everyone was at Stonewall. It's widely known, not a soul was home. Every G&L has a New York tip tell. The Stonewall was everyone. Now the post office, which in those days screened our mail, with the mind putting some of us in jail, has cast a stamp in the image of us all for the old Stonewall. And though the Congress continues to queer our goose, and the Pentagon is still out on the loose, Connecticut, Hawaii, Wisconsin, Vermont, California, New Jersey, Minnesota, Massachusetts have all come through. And it won't be long, it won't be long, till a president will sing the Stonewall song. And we'll be heading off the White House throng where we belong. To hear it told, everyone was at Stonewall. It's widely known, not a soul was told. Every G&L has a New York hotel. The Stonewall was everyone.
Did you know there was a rap song that fits this show? Actually, it's by an act that was probably the very first to do lyrically gay rap songs. They were from Los Angeles and were called Age of Consent and were active from 1981 to 1985. Their work was compiled on a 2004 CD called Old School on the Down Low, and I'll let you hear group member John Callahan talk about his motivation for writing the song.
I really wanted to do a rap about the Stonewall Rebellion, and more people don't know anything about it. So I went to Jim Kepner at the time and told him what I was interested in. He, you know, gave me information. I interviewed Morris Kite. I talked to the sort of the gay, you know, godfathers here, and then we just started writing it. And we all the details in there about the women and the drag queens and throwing of the coins and all that kind of stuff, that's all real. And we wanted to put those kinds of details in so people would hopefully believe that what we're talking about is not a made-up song, but something that actually happened.
Face to face, history rap. First
in a crowd, gather, be on the scene. Shouted support to those three queens. Through the door came one more queer, stocky little woman who knew no fear. Screaming, kicking, patching pig. Crowd gave a yell because she wasn't too big. Running and hiding was a thing of the past. Let this come down, stop kicking ass.
The history rap.
Pepper
slammed,
the fun began when the crowd gave her a hand.
Nickels and quarters fell down on the heads of those cops and all around.
From 1982, that was Age of Consent and their song, History Rap. I had to edit that song just a touch to make it ready for broadcast radio, and I also had to do that with this next one. It takes us all the way to Australia and to artist Peter Hicks, and I think it's really neat to know that Stonewall inspired people all over the world. Peter explains how he and his partner Jeff wrote the song.
I'm kind of really the odd one to be talking about it because my partner Jeff kind of the lyricist. And I'm kind of the tune writer in our kind of setup. But again, you know, when we first got together, Jeff was kind of, you know, he's a little bit older than me. He went through that, the English sort of gay pride thing that was happening in the 70s. Very much influenced by that was the Stonewall events of 1969. There's aspects of it which would have happened unless the people stood up in Stonewall in 69 and said, hey, you know, you've come around and stuffed us around one time too many and we're just not going to take it anymore. I just think it's pretty much a seminal, if not the seminal event of awareness, awakenings of gay and lesbian pride and transsexual pride, etc., etc.
Wasn't there something in Australia similar to Stonewall about 10 years later?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I guess, you know, this is part of the history that kind of gets glossed over. But I think about 10 years after Stonewall, so it would have been 79, so it decided to have a march in celebration, you know, a commemoration march. And it happened in Australia in about June, which, you know, is our sort of colder period. But the police at the time decided that in their, you know, wisdom or extreme lack thereof, that, hey, we can't allow this sort of thing to happen. You know, like, it was okay for people to go to bars and sort of do what they want to do in the sort of cover of night, but these people are coming out in the open and expressing their sexuality. And they weren't rooting on the streets or anything. They were just holding hands or hugging or whatever. But that was a bit too much for our police at the time. It, you know, because they were being oppressed, everybody joined in and it became like a Stonewall. It became the beginnings of what was the Mardi Gras. But I guess this was a catalyst, you know, a very strong catalyst.
Night way back in 69, when the cops set out to have themselves a real good smashing time. With guns and batons oozing hate, they filed into their cars and they rode off to the village to drive the gays out of their bars. The stop was at Stonewall like a dozen times before. They chose it cause the people there were all so kind of poor. Puerto Ricans, blacks and whites in that cellar bar run down. It was a place they'd come to call their own in their corner of that town. Okay, your men let's get them fags. The cop was big and mean. Now I've seen some cops, but man, this one was the ugliest I've seen. With loaded guns and batons drawn, the cops launched their attack. Then a voice rang out back, off you pigs, this time we're fighting back. Yeah, a voice rang out back, off you pigs, this time we're fighting back. Anything were used in self-defense. And when the bleeding cops were beaten back, 300 more were sent. They came with dogs and riot gear like an occupying force. But the heroes of that Stonewall bar stood up bravely for their cause. Yes, we remember Stonewall and that New York summer night, when our people show that we can win if we stand up for our rights. They still attack us with their lies and abuse us cause we're gay. But we're never being driven back, we're proud we're here to stay. No, we're never being driven back, we're proud we're here to stay. No, we're never being beaten back, we're out, we're here to stay.
You can only find that song on Peter's four-song cassette. It's from 1993 and is called The Man with the Pink Triangle. We're getting close to the end, and I can't leave out another favorite of mine. It's a rather playful song from the 1995 album The Sacred and the Queer, and is by Jalen Ricks. It's called I Saw Jesus Down at Stonewall.
Church bells are ringing, the members wear their best. In the pews they are waiting for their holy guest. And the pastor knows his sermon, the choir stands in rows. There's a sense that something's missing, cause the guest of all
stays, he says there's too much hate between the sacred and the queer.
Oh, yeah, all the way.
We're down to the last song, and I want to thank you all for sharing my look at Songs About Stonewall. There's a lot more information, along with photos of the artists and recordings, at my website. That's at www.queermusicheritage.com. And if you have questions or comments about any of the music I've featured, please write me at qmheritage@aol.com. This is J.D. Doyle, and again, thank you for listening to Queer Music Heritage. My very first show was in January of 2000, and I closed it with a song put together by John Gilbert Levitt called Pride. It's kind of a history song, and we tend to forget too much of our history. So I'm glad that he's updated it and created a video to go with it, so you can see many, many historic photos of our journey.
I came up with the idea for Pride in the summer of 1999, when the media started hyping the coming new millennium and at the same time did countless retrospectives of 20th century history. When I realized that gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender history was being overlooked or ignored or just thought of as unworthy of mentioning, I realized there was a void. I also realized when gay history is talked about, Stonewall is the only familiar event that seems to come up, and there's a lot more that happened before and after 1969. The most important meaning Pride has for me is that it can be used as a learning tool to enlighten some and educate others. After that, I guess Pride is a tribute to the people in the past who gave up so much of themselves and had the courage to stand up and fight in a world so different than the world I grew up in. It's a lot easier for us today, and I can't imagine the adversity people like Magnus Hirschfeld or Harry Hay or Barbara Giddings or James Baldwin felt. They had great courage. We still have a long way to go for total equality and acceptance, and that can only come with education and exposure. And of course, with votes.
So tight, pants and button shoes, erotic tint has been night cruise, Berlin Gay Society in 1903. Sigmund Freud's Vienna's hype identifies the homo type, the intermediate sex, and heterodoxy. The gay wave moves across the sea, hello there, Miss Liberty. Betty Boop is hot and hooches out in the cold. Greenwich Village, Bloomsbury.
Pride is power and power is pride. It's time to celebrate all the colors. Bush in Washington, Millennium March, Mary Jane and Queer as Folk, Dr. Laura's Evil Ways, Bug Chasers, XK's 9-11, Mark Bingham, Father Michael Judge. Honest thoughts of Barry Sam, Beanie Man and Eminem, Elworth, W's back, we're at all the same time. Execution in Iran, same sex, marriage ban, papers discussed in Iraq, what's it for, a two-step side? Crystal meth, PNP, Mark Foley, Jim McGreevy, John Amici tells all. Doogie Howser, Lance Bass, Brokeback, Superman, Rufus does, Judy at Carnegie Hall. Barry Craig, Vice One, Mahmoud Ahmadini, John Dumbledore, Nutmeg State, Obama wins, so does Pompey. 40 years ago, new minister of mayor threw a sugar raid, became a movement and a father.
Been listening to Queer Voices, heard each Monday at 8 p.m. here on KPFT, a publicly funded Pacifica Network station. Queer Voices is produced live in Houston with recorded segments from This Way Out, which is produced at KPFK in Los Angeles. Queer Voices executive producer is Jack Valensky. On-air voices are Glenn Holt, J.D. Doyle, Deborah Bell, Jennifer Renee, Greg Chapman, and Jack Polensky. Be sure to listen every Saturday night, Sunday morning at 1 a.m. for After Hours with Jimmy Carper. It's Queer Radio with Attitude. This is listener-sponsored and commercial-free Pacifica Radio, KPFT, at 90.1 FM, 89.5 FM Galveston, and worldwide via streaming audio from kpft.org. For Queer Voices, I'm Glenn Holt.
When it goes on the attack, the swine flu virus can't distinguish between a person who has health insurance and a person who is uninsured. So perhaps it's germane to talk about a national health care plan. Yes, we need to wash our hands to help keep the swine flu virus at bay. But longer term, we also need to cover all of the people in this country with affordable health care. What, you may ask, is so likable about a national health care plan? It saves taxpayers money. Everybody's in, nobody's out. You go to the doctor of your choice. You get the treatment you need, and at a price you, Joe and Jane taxpayer, can afford. When everyone's on a national health care plan, germs of the future will have healthier Americans to contend with. Over half of all doctors and over two-thirds of the general population support a national health care plan. Let's talk. Visit Healthcare for All Texas at www.hcfat.org.
KPFT, Houston.
Listeners support KPFT in many different ways. Some write checks and others use credit cards. But if you're spinning your wheels looking for a tax deduction, think about donating your working but unwanted car, motorcycle, boat, or truck to KPFT. You'll qualify for a tax deduction and at the same time take care of that unfinished business. To make a donation, call our toll-free vehicle donation hotline at 877-308-2408. We'll arrange for your vehicle to be picked up and the title transferred. Then we'll send you a receipt for your tax deduction. It's that simple to support the station you've come to rely on for alternative music, news, and public affairs programming. Again, for more information or to make a donation, call our toll-free vehicle donation hotline at 877-308-2408. You're tuned in to commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio, KPFT Houston, radio for people.
Did you know you can find KPFT on the social networking sites MySpace and Facebook? You certainly can, and we'd love you to add us as a friend and get us connected with friends of yours. On Facebook, for example, you can connect to KPFT as a friend, join our fan page, and check out a special video message from General Manager Dwayne Bradley to Facebook users, as well as keep up with KPFT programmers and staff. On MySpace, KPFT provides event videos, updates, and a lot more. Visit myspace.com/KPFT Houston to add KPFT as a friend. With both, you can link up with other KPFT listeners, get the latest news about the station, and find lots of extras. It's fun, so join us online. Again, on MySpace, visit myspace.com/KPFT Houston. On Facebook, just search for 90.1 KPFT or Pacifica. This is commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio, 90.1 KPFT Houston.
Program may contain language or imagery that may be offensive to some listeners. Discretion is advised.
In the west of an island is a parish I know. I am the one to tell you cause that's where I grow. No money there, they put it just a short. Tourists in my forest while they get to them a perish now, no. Free up the thing, you give me more for more. Run with the top and all let out it come. Some shops we're not deal with fear. So we build, we are rebuilding on the journey, okay, oh. And here is more than that.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.